Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touch it up!
Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
We get to talk about a win. We get to talk about a win. We get to talk about a win. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, local experts on the number one daily sports podcast network. I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter. You can also find the show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets, and please remember to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, Himalaya, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us, subscribe to us. Leave a review if you want to. I sincerely appreciate it. The Rockets won a game. No more four-game slide. It's so exciting. It's so wonderful. It feels like it's been ages since they've won a game. The Rockets beat the Denver Nuggets here in Houston 121-105, improving the team to 27-16 on the season, now 15-7 at home. The Nuggets dropped to 30-14 on the season, now 13-8. On the road. This is great. Look, the Rockets were on a serious slide. We'd been talking about a lot of the losses, and it felt really bad. The Lakers loss, you're kind of like, okay, it's the Lakers. Yeah, they didn't have AD. Maybe you could make the argument they should have won that game, the third quarter collapse. Fine. It's the Lakers, though. They're the best team in the Western Conference, and they are that way for a reason. The Thunder loss really stung, because of the collapse as late as it happened in the fourth quarter. There was no loss in this game, though. There was no collapse. There was no panic button that was hit. And there are a lot of different reasons for that. Now, the team does still sit at the sixth seed in the standings in the Western Conference. So it's not like they've moved up or down. But this game was super important because now the Rockets are currently holding the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Denver Nuggets. So they've got the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Nuggets, 2-1 right now. And they've also got the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Clippers, 2-1 right now. So that's huge for these Western Conference standings down the line, especially because they don't hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Thunder, as they are 1-2 in that series. They are 0-1 against the Mavericks, haven't played the Jazz yet, and they're 0-1 against the Lakers. Although, based on how the season's going right now, I don't really know if the tiebreaker is going to matter against the Lakers down the line. All that being said, though, really great game from Russell Westbrook. James Harden, I don't want to say he broke out of his shooting slump quite just yet, although he did tone it down quite a bit. So James Harden finished the night 27 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He had a couple steals, had a few turnovers. Shot 13 of 15 at the charity stripe, 6 of 13 overall, which is why I'm saying he didn't necessarily break out of his shooting slump, but he definitely toned down the shooting numbers. He's 2 of 6 from behind the arc. And so to me, that and just the overall game plan shows that they made a conscious effort to not shoot anywhere near as many three-pointers as collectively as a team. It took them almost 6 minutes to shoot their first three-pointer in this game. And that was huge. Watching the game, you could just tell there was a distinct effort being made to drive the ball into the basket and to actually get legitimate shots near the rim. And for as much as we love to praise Morey Ball, sometimes it feels like the layups and dunks aspect of Morey Ball is like the redheaded stepchild in this, like, Rockets offense, because they fall in love with a three-point shot. Let's face it, they do. They shoot the most three-pointers in the league, and they don't exactly have a roster that is adept at shooting three-pointers. You know what they do have a roster I just can't use the word adept. It's going to mess me up. Anyways, you know what they have a roster that's good at? Driving to the rim. down the entire roster, I feel like most of the players are more comfortable driving to the rim than they are shooting threes, honestly, at least as far as the percentages go. I mean, Westbrook is comfortable driving, Harden's comfortable driving, McLemore not so much, but he has shown that he can drive a little bit. Rivers, great. Gordon, great. And so I think that there has been a not enough focus on the driving element of the Morey Ball offense, and we saw that in this game. We saw them reshift their focus towards driving to the rim, and would you look at that? The team shot 13 of 29 from behind the arc, because instead of jacking up 30 horrible three-pointers that, you know, had no chance of going in, or contested threes, or just falling in love with a three-point shot, they actually took their time. They worked the ball around. There was way more ball movement in this game, too. It wasn't necessarily just Harden and Westbrook handling the ball. There was some ball movement from guys like Tucker, from Gordon, from Capella, McLemore even. There were people actually, you know, driving and kicking that weren't named James or Russell. It was a great game. And look, it was against the undermanned Denver Nuggets. Absolutely. They're missing four of their key guys. They were missing Gary Harris. They were missing Jamal Murray. They were missing Paul Millsap. They were missing Mason Plumlee. Yeah, so they're a bit understaffed. But the Rockets needed this W, man. They needed what could be argued as a tune-up game, right? I mean, when you're on a four-game slide like that, maybe you just need an opponent who is, you know, a bit of a punching bag. You can come out, you can play the game that you know how to play, but you do it against a slightly, you know, a slightly less than opponent. Kind of get you back into the flow of things. And now we see that we know that this team is capable of doing these things. Even during the losing streak, even with all the frustrations about the coaching staff, about James Harden's body language, about how he was carrying himself on the court, we know that this team is capable of more than that, which is why, especially on my end, for me personally, why I was so frustrated with this team, because we know where the bar is set. We know what this team is capable of, and to see them struggle that many games in a row, but not just, you know, it's not like they were just struggling and coming up just a bit short. It's they were getting blown out. It was a series of really rough games, but it's over. The drought is gone. They have a one-game winning streak starting against the Denver Nuggets. And so we'll keep talking about this win and some of the reasons behind it here in just one moment. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Indeed. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know that you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create a short list of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. Sweet victory indeed it was. We're back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets' 121-105 win over the Denver Nuggets here in Houston. Spent a bit of segment one talking about the Rockets' focus on driving in this game, and maybe necessarily it wasn't strictly a focus on driving, but it was a focus on getting shots closer to the basket in the painted area. Just looking at the team's shot chart from the game, I mean, it was honestly a thing of beauty, and it was glorious to see them actually spend time focusing on that, and a lot of that comes from Russell Westbrook. It really does. Russ has been phenomenal over the last month to month and a half, and he has completely shifted his game to match what this Rockets team needs. He's not attempting threes. He didn't attempt a single three in this game. He only attempted one three against the Thunder, and it was the one that he had to hoist up at the very, very end of the game. So Russ finished the game with a stat line of 28 points, 16 boards, 8 assists, 4 steals. He had a block, had 5 turnovers, 6 of 7 from the charity stripe, 11 of 25 overall. So you'd hope for a little bit more efficiency from Russ, but here's the thing about him is he's got some shots that, man, I swear, he lays the ball in and they do like two or three trips around the rim, and then they decide they're just going to pop out. He misses some serious bunnies here or there, but it's not like they're bad misses. It's like they're just barely rolling off the iron. Could really be considered like some serious 50-50 balls whenever he's right there at the rim. But the thing about the way that he's playing now is he's playing this survey and post up type of game rather than facing up defenders consistently. And I think that's been a huge part of his success over the last month and a half, is what he's doing is rather than facing up the defender and trying to take them off the dribble every single time like James Harden does, Russ will actually back down guard, because most guards are smaller than Russ. Russ is a pretty big guard for his position. He's pretty strong, he's athletic, he can elevate, and he uses all those tools to take advantage of guards that are guarding him. And so what he does is he's backing him down on the post, and he's got an opportunity to then survey the court to look for guys like Ben McLemore, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker in the opposite corner, Harden if he's still in the game at the top of the key. And if there's no options available, then all he has to do is back down that guard, and then he gets a turnaround fadeaway, you know, in the 5 to 10 foot range, or he can take him all the way straight to the rim and just get a layup. He's explosive. He's got pretty decent footwork in that area to be able to, you know, swiftly get around his defender. That element of his game, I didn't know it existed. I don't ever remember seeing him play this way in OKC. Now, he might have done it from time to time, but it's a testament to Russ in the fact that when he first came to Houston, there was an emphasis on him trying to fit in as a Houston Rocket. He was shooting way too many three-pointers. He wasn't playing his brand of basketball. And even this version of basketball that he's playing right now, I don't know if it's necessarily his brand that he played for years in OKC. And if there's some Thunder fans listening right now, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I still watch the Thunder a fair bit, even when they weren't playing the Rockets, and I just really don't remember Russ ever playing this much out of the post. And I think that it's completely elevated his game to a point where the Rockets do have a bit of a dynamic offense now. Because let's face it, Clint Capela is not going to play out of the post. That's just not his game. But with Russell Westbrook, the Rockets now have legitimate post play. They can break things down in the half court and just toss the ball into Brody and let him work out of the post. And he's either going to score a bucket for himself or generate a decent look for somebody else from three or continue to force the defense to scramble. So that's been a huge part of his success, and it was a huge part of this game. There were so many great looks that Russ generated out of the post, especially for Eric Gordon, who had a huge game himself. Eric Gordon had 25 points, no rebounds, a couple of assists, had a block in there randomly from Eric, which is weird. 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 8 of 11 shooting overall, 6 of 8 from downtown. 75% shooting from behind the arc. Incredible shooting by Eric Gordon. And again, this reinvigorated focus for the Rockets on getting to the paint and not chucking up as many three-pointers was a huge part of this game. Look, they only had 4 mid-range points in this one. You already know who those are from. It's from Russ. They had 54 points in the paint. That's huge. 24 fast break points. I mean, they basically played Rockets basketball to a T in this one. And after so many different games of watching them struggle, it was really nice to actually see them come out and play with energy for the entire 48 minutes. There was a bit of a gap there in the fourth quarter where I felt like they were letting up off the gas just a little bit. And I was legitimately concerned that the Nuggets, the undermanned Denver Nuggets, were going to somehow mount a comeback. But they kept going. And then, you know, guys got garbage time minutes. Hartenstein, Clemens, Michael Frazier. Seth Alosha surprisingly has been getting rotation minutes, which I guess if the goal is to keep PJ Tucker around 30 minutes a game and Mike D'Antoni seemingly refuses to play Hartenstein during regular minutes, then I guess Seth Alosha is the only option there. But PJ Tucker did only play 31 minutes, which I think is important. The high minute man for the team was, what, Capella? Yeah, Capella and Westbrook both played 34 minutes. So overall, the team's minutes were down in this one, and that's because you were blowing out the Nuggets by the fourth quarter. So it was nice for some of the guys who have been running high on minutes to be able to get a little bit of rest. Rest of the team didn't do... I'm trying to look. There's not really any stat lines that jump out that are amazing. Ben McLemore and Daniel House both had really quiet nights. Neither one of them hit a single three-pointer. Benny Mack only had 2 points. Daniel House Jr. only had 2 points. PJ Tucker, 2 of 6 from the three-point line, is nice to see, especially since he's got the shoulder stinger going on. Austin Rivers turned into freaking Ray Allen or something because he hit 3 threes, hit a couple free throws, 11 points, 3 of 5 shooting overall. Kind of a welcome sight to see Austin Rivers actually hit some threes. Tabo Sefolosha didn't do anything. I mean, he had a few rebounds, he had an assist, he played some decent defense, but I still can't believe that Tabo Sefolosha is getting minutes over Isaiah Hartenstein, even in lineups that feature Jeremy Grant at center. You'd think that Mike D'Antoni would be able to work Hartenstein in, because, look, Hartenstein jumped in at the very end, and, you know, what, he had a dunk on his, like, first or second possession in the game. And that was without having Westbrook or Harden there to, you know, help facilitate pick and rolls. I'm not going to get too hung up on Hartenstein, though. The Rockets got the W, and that's what matters. So we'll be back in the final segment here in just a moment, so do not go anywhere. Final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Just want to remind everybody that we do have our Rockets Twitter watch party over at Nick's Place off of Westheimer against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So don't want to miss that game. So it's a 7 p.m. tip-off Friday evening. I'll be there. Ben DuBose will be there. A bunch of other Rockets Twitter people will be there. So you really don't want to miss this one. And look, the Rockets are winning again. So it's fun. They're not carrying a losing streak into this one. So it'll be a good game. And even if they do lose against the Timberwolves for whatever reason, God forbid, there will be alcohol there. So that's important. So we can drink away any Rockets loss that may or may not happen, which is important in these trying times as a Rockets fan. But now back into the Rockets at hand concerning this Denver Nuggets game. A couple of the points that I want to shore up about this one. Honestly, the Rockets did a really good job guarding Nikola Jokic. They really did. He had, you know, 8 of 9 shooting, or sorry, 8 of 19 shooting overall. He missed his only three-pointer that he took, just 3 of 6 from the charity stripe. He did have a triple-double, so 19 points, 12 boards, 10 assists. He had a steal, he had a block, but he had 6 turnovers. Jokic was just sloppy play, but I don't think it was just sloppy play because he was having a bad night. The Rockets were actually defending him pretty well. Clint Capella deserves some credit, but also, you know, guys on switches, PJ Tucker, James Harden, you know, for being guys that look at times half of Jokic's size, they did a really great job not letting him just abuse them in the paint, not letting him get clean passes. You know, there were hands in passing lanes, disrupting things for this Denver Nuggets offense. Really great job overall, kind of, because look, he is the focal point of the offense, right? So if you can kind of throttle him a little bit, then it kind of puts everything else out of whack. Just like James Harden and Russell Westbrook are the focal points for the Rockets offense. If you can double team James Harden, or if you can sag off Westbrook and force him to shoot threes, then the Rockets offense is going to falter at points. Same thing for Jokic. The Rockets did a great job defending him. It kind of forced the rest of the offense to struggle a little bit. The Nuggets only shot 35% from behind the arc, just 45% overall. They were 42 of 19 from the floor. Rockets did force a decent number of turnovers from them, 15 turnovers from the Nuggets. Rockets scored 16 points off those 15 turnovers. The Rockets themselves did have a fair bit of turnovers, 19 turnovers for 22 Nuggets points. Not a great look there. Rockets definitely need to focus on cutting back on the turnovers, especially just there were way too many times that the Rockets would turn the ball over and it just generated really easy fast break points for the Nuggets. The Nuggets are not a team that gets out in transition a lot. And so the Nuggets scoring 22 fast break points is less than ideal overall. Another point that I would like to kind of make concerning this one, and this has been a kind of a theme throughout the whole season, and this is one of those areas where, look, yeah, they got the win, but was it a perfect win? No. And so I still want to point out a couple areas that I'd like to see them improve on, and one of these is on defense. It frustrates me to no end that off of a made basket sometimes, there are defensive mismatches for the Houston Rockets. There is zero excuse for a made basket to result in Clint Capela having to pick up a guard in transition, because at that point, it's not transition. And I think there needs to be a bit of better effort on the part of the Houston Rockets to actually match up properly after a made basket, you know, when you're essentially playing half-court ball. Because I get that Capela can guard opposing guards. Does that mean he's phenomenal at it? No. It just means that he can on a switch if he needs to. The same way that, yeah, James Harden can sort of guard Nikola Jokic. Does that mean we want Harden matched up with Jokic all 35 minutes that he's out there on the court? No, not at all. And so I just don't understand why sometimes when they're jogging back after a made basket that they just kind of willy-nilly match up with whoever the nearest, you know, Nuggets jersey is, and they just call it a day. And kind of an extension of that is some of the possessions where they switch so willingly, and it's not even like the Nuggets are running a, you know, really serious pick and roll or pick and pop action, I should say. And, you know, James Harden just willingly, you know, oh, Capela's okay, just I got Jokic. And again, Harden, Tucker, for those two guys, I can maybe make, you know, have a little bit more sympathy towards their ability to guard bigger post players. But even then, watching them willingly let Clint Capela guard opposing guards, or there were even points in the Thunder game where Tyson Chandler was stuck on a guard, and that was because they, you know, jogged back in transition and they just wouldn't match up properly. So this kind of feeds into some of the defensive issues and the defensive identity of this team, that they just don't have the sound defensive fundamentals that you would like out of a potential championship contender. Do I expect those problems to disappear overnight? No. But it's just something that I wanted to highlight, because this game, while it was a good win, while it was a nice little tune-up win, I think that there's still, you know, some minor problems there. And this kind of feeds back into, look, when James Harden has a good game, when Russell Westbrook has a good game, and when, you know, at least a few of the role players do their job, this team looks really good. And they looked really good in this game. Again, as a team, they shot 45% from downtown, 47% from the floor. They had fast break points. They were scoring a lot in the paint. They did everything correctly. But you still have to wonder if this was a team like maybe the Bucks or the Lakers, or, you know, a team that wasn't missing four of its main guys, would they have had a chance to actually mount a comeback, and would the Rockets have folded? Because that's what happened in the Lakers game. That's what happened in the Thunder game, is they were playing good basketball and then they got a gut punch and they folded. And so while I'm happy that they got this win, I'm interested to see how they handle themselves moving forward as they play more and more teams. Now, the schedule moving forward still isn't easy. Their next game is against the Timberwolves, which will be the easiest game in the stretch of upcoming games. So they play the T-Wolves, then they play the Nuggets again on Sunday. But that's the first part of a back-to-back. So you've got the Denver Nuggets at a 2:30 p.m. tip-off on Sunday, and then you go up to Salt Lake City to face the Jazz 8 p.m. the following night. Then Wednesday, you've got the Portland Trailblazers. And Friday, January 31st, you're back at home for a short homestand, starting with the Dallas Mavericks, then the New Orleans Pelicans, and then the Charlotte Hornets. So the Rockets need to make the most of the T-Wolves game, the Trailblazers game, and honestly, I feel like they're probably going to lose one of the back-to-back games with Denver and Utah. Chances are they'll probably lose the game that Russell Westbrook sits out for. So it depends on which direction they want to go. I would honestly argue that you play Westbrook against the Denver Nuggets because you've shown that you can beat that team. Just secure the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Nuggets 3-1 and call it a day. If you lose against the Jazz, you know, it's not the end of the world. You've got chances further down in the season to, you know, match up with them and try and secure that tiebreaker, right? Do you? Hang on. I'm scrolling through the schedule. There's one Jazz game there. There's a Jazz game there. Okay, there we go. Sorry, I missed one. They play the Jazz 4-1-2. Wow. Yeah, they play the Jazz again Sunday, February 9th, and they play them again Saturday, February 22nd. So they're only three games against the Jazz. So whoever comes out with the two wins on top of that one will secure that season series. But I'd say you come out, you play Westbrook against the Denver Nuggets because you've shown that you can beat the Nuggets. Just secure that one, and then whatever happens against the Jazz happens, you know, on the second night of a back-to-back, and you just, you know, you say, well, you know, cards have been dealt. Not much else we can do. If Westbrook's going to have to sit out one half of a back-to-back, you just want to guarantee the one that has more impact in the overall standings, I think, which, in my opinion, is the Denver Nuggets one. Trying to think if there's anything else from this game that was kind of a standout to me. Obviously, Ben McLemore and Daniel House's production was not the best, but when you have Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers playing as well as they did off the bench, you really don't need more than that. It's just about who the scoring is going to come from. Because again, there's only so many shots to go around in the game, right? There's only so many possessions, only so many shots. So the fact that Ben McLemore and Daniel House both had quiet nights, it's fine because Eric Gordon exploded for 25 points off the bench. Gordon was a plus 22 in this one. Eric Gordon, honestly, it's really nice to see him back in form. And he can be a bit of an inconsistent guy, but if he can at least stay somewhat consistent, I'm not expecting him to shoot 75% from behind the arc every night. No, it's not realistic. But if he can just kind of get back into some level of consistent play so that we can have that consistent 10 to 15 points per game score off the bench, and then if one other guy steps up, you know, Austin Rivers or Daniel House or Ben McLemore, if one other guy out of those three guys steps up, plus Eric Gordon every night, plus Harden and Westbrook and Capella having decent games, which Capella had 14 points, 11 boards, 2 assists. He had 5 blocks. It was a block party for Clint Capella. If we can just get that to happen, as well as decent defense on any given night, this team has potential. They really do. And again, it was mostly about the body language for me. This team had been down in the dumps, 4 losses in a row, and they weren't responding well to adversity. So moving forward, it's about how they respond to teams that are not simply just going to go down without a fight. Because a 15-point lead, a 20-point lead is nothing in today's NBA. So if this team can actually manage to start putting away teams and responding well when they mount comebacks, this team still has a shot. You know, they could still be a top-4 seed, top-3 seed. Things in the West are very tightly stacked. The Rockets are only 3 losses back in the loss column of being the 2 seed. They're 3.5 games back overall of the Jazz right now. So the upcoming 3 games against the Jazz over the course of this next month are going to be really important to kind of decide where those two teams fall. So I think that's where we will wrap things up for today. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. And if you want more content before the next show, obviously I'm on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. There's also Facebook, which can be found at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, the website LockedOnRockets.com, and our email address LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Past those, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts, if you could please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes straight to your inbox before they publish the previously mentioned social media outlets. And we get the benefit of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping this business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. So for this Thursday, January 23rd episode of This Is Where We Break, Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.